and gentlemen, welcome to the main event. Let's get ready to rumble!
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Hound Pound Sports Talk alongside Samuel Wiederhoff and Brady Klein. I'm your host, Jack Kaiser. While we were gone, the boys basketball team was able to capture the sectional title this past weekend, and the man who ran the show, Coach Scott Hetty, is in studio with us. Coach, it was a great week for you last week. How does it feel that you've captured your second straight sectional title and fourth in 5 years?
Well, I think it's great for our guys. As you know, we've been really close to kind of getting over the hump and having a great year as far as the regular season. And I think the last two or three weeks of the regular season, we could tell as coaches that we were finally starting to kind of turn the corner. I think the win at Warsaw was key for our guys' confidence. And I think we carried that momentum into the tournament. And we knew it was going to be a battle, and we were going to have to play well, you know, for three games, and we fortunately put three good games together. So it's great to win it. It's not something that you sometimes you kind of take these things for granted, especially around Carmel, and it's nothing to take for granted because it's a battle every year, and so to get through the sectional is a great accomplishment. And we talk at the beginning of the year every year if you know we can improve and be at our best in March. If you win the sectional and you can get out of the sectional, then you know you've got a shot to win it all.
And Coach Cameron Walter of Fishers had 9 first quarter points. He was making everything. He was really on fire and giving that Fishers team life, but he only finished with 17 points through the rest of the game. So what did you do throughout the game defensively to try and stop him?
Well, he hit a couple tough shots. He had a couple spin moves and hit a couple tough shots, got fouled. So in our first timeout, we talked to Trent and Britt and just kind of settled them down. They were a little, I think, upset a little bit, feeling like, they were letting us down. But, he just made some plays. It wasn't like poor defense. We needed to get a little bit better help on him. So we started plugging the lane a little bit when he got the ball in the high post and took that drive away from him. And I think the rest of the game, the key was we just didn't give him anything easy. We didn't give him offensive rebound baskets. We didn't foul him and put him at the free throw line. If you watch the rest of the game, I think for the next probably 29 minutes, what he got, he really had to, he earned it. As well as Dollison, he didn't get anything easy as well. I think that was the key, our defense on those two guys.
Now, sticking with the topic of matchups, we saw the game against Noblesville. The rotation between Covington and Preston Fleming going up against John Kaiser, why did you keep switching them back and forth?
Well, it gives them a break and it keeps them fresh. Those are guys that, obviously with Preston and Garrett, we're depending on them to, give us, a lot of our offensive punch. And if you're chasing a guy all night, and as much as he has the ball, mm-hmm. I mean, he has the ball in his hands a lot, and they're screening for him a lot. And so if you're guarding him, you're having to fight through screens all night, and you're having to really stay locked in. And it can, it can be kind of tough. So that's the great thing about, having Garrett right now. We've got two guys with size and length that can guard a guy like that, and it's really helped us. Kind of the same thing with Dollison in the finals. So that's why we switched him up a little bit, just to kind of keep him fresh.
And in that Noblesville game, it was a loud environment, really tough game. And you actually made a remark that Garrett Covington was actually getting a little too emotional during that game. But what do you do throughout the game to keep your players focused and just get them to calm down in tough environments like that?
We talk about, not getting involved in the environment. We want guys to play with emotion. But you got to stay locked in and you got to stay really focused. I think that's the key, especially at tournament time, is the teams that can lock in to every possession, and not get too up, not get too down, because there's going to be some ups and downs, especially in the tournament, as you get against better competition. So I thought our guys did a really good job of staying locked in. Garrett was getting a little emotional on some calls, maybe in things that didn't go his way. So we took him out of the game, I think, for probably maybe a minute and a half. And I just talked to him a little bit and just calmed him down and just reminded him, just to kind of stay locked in. And I thought he did a great job then down the stretch.
Head varsity basketball coach Scott Hetty sitting down with us here on WHE. And coach, he may have gotten emotional on a couple calls, but he certainly led you guys in scoring. He was very effective on the offensive end.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was really good offensively. He was good on the perimeter. He hit some big threes. He drove the ball. He was a couple transition baskets. He hit his free throws. So he scored in a variety of ways. And he was a beast on the boards. I think, I can't remember his numbers, but it was 22, 23 points and 10 or 12 rebounds. So, and then defensively, he guarded Dollison, a good amount of the game. He and Preston and did a great job on Dollison, who's a really good offensive player. So, not just offensive, but I think defensively, and he had a couple turnovers, but he played through that. I thought he just played a tremendous game.
Now, the game you guys played against HSC, this was the first time you saw Zach Gunn this season. The meeting we had them earlier in the year, he was not there along with Brennan Schofield. How did you guys scout them differently the second time you played them in comparison to the first?
Well, our scout the first time was really for them to play, because we didn't know they were going to be out until the day of the game. So we had prepared for them to play in the first game. And so our preparation was not much different. Our scouting report was basically the same. Now I don't think we did a great job on Gunn, and obviously he scored 2 points. He had 2 points going in the fourth quarter, and they really went to him down the stretch. I mean, almost every possession they got him the ball, and he scored a little bit at the end. But I thought again we were able to switch Garrett and Preston on him and just wear him down. And I tell you, I don't think he was quite back to 100%. I don't want to not give our guys the credit they deserve, because they did a tremendous job on him, and he's a really good player. But we didn't give him anything. We just talked about, don't foul him, don't give him offensive rebounds, find him in transition. If he's going to score, he's going to have to earn it on the half court. And he wasn't moving real well, and I don't think he was totally back from his concussion, but I thought our guys did a great job on him, and that was the key, not only on him, but the Miller kid. He's a great athlete, a driver, and he can be a game changer, and I thought we kept him out of the lane, and he was kind of a non-factor as well.
Moving on to regionals now, what can we expect from this McCutchen team this year as opposed to last, and how are you going to stop Robert Finnessy?
Well, it's not just him. He's a really good player, and he might be, he's a sophomore, but I think from what we've watched all around, he might be the best guard that we've played all year. He changes pace. He's great in transition. He kind of manages their team. He can hit an outside shot. He just scores in different ways. He's a really good passer. Great defender. Gets a lot of steals. So, it's not so much offensively, but I think when he's on defense, you got to be aware of where he is, because he can come up on a game with 4 or 5 steals, and that can be the difference in the game. So, but I'll tell you what, I think the difference between this team, this McCutchen team, and last year's, I think they're just so much more balanced. They've got 3 guys that started for them last year that are returning. They're all double-figure scorers, and they can put 5 guys on the floor that can hit a 3 and be a 3-point threat. So I think that's the difference. Last year, you can kind of play some guys, play off some guys. We're going to have a great team defensive effort. It's not like here in the sectional where, you think, okay, we got to guard this guy or these 2 guys, and we got to take this away. This is a game where we got to have all 5 guys on the floor ready to lock in and play defense, because they can put a lot of times 4 guys on the floor that can score, and sometimes 5.
I want to go back to that sectional tournament just one last time. Do you think this sectional championship means a little more than the past, given the battle that this season really has been for your team?
They're all, I think they're all great in different ways. I think for this team, You know, you look at who we're playing against and the draw we got. It was a tough draw. And we knew each night we were going to have to play well. You know, we knew we were going to have to play three games and put three games together. You're playing the home team, you know, at their, you know, you're playing at their place, first game, a team that was playing, you know, very well. They've really been playing at their best lately. And then your next two games are teams that have at some time beaten some of the top teams in the state. And so I think because of that, having to put three games together, it was a great accomplishment for our guys. And then somewhat that, you know, we've kind of had some ups and downs this year. You think about the last 3 or 4 years, we're going into this thing, you know, 21 wins, 22 wins. You're ranked in the top five. You're playing with a lot of confidence. I think our team gained some confidence at the end of the year, but it's not like we're coming in as a top, you know, top five team.
Now, going back and talking about this, you said a couple minutes ago that Garrett and Preston are almost interchangeable, and now we switch to the triage of big men that you guys have, Britt, Trenton, and John Michael Malloy. How is John Michael Malloy, the freshman, having three pure big men, how's he helped with the presence down low?
Well, I think, you know, his development has been huge. You know, we made a decision at the beginning of the year. You know, we could have played him probably some more varsity minutes. But you know, it's, we got to think about player development sometimes. And for him, he was coming in as a player that, you know, he needed to finish plays. He needed to work on scoring and finishing plays. That's where he kind of struggled a little bit coming in. And if he would have been playing all varsity, let's say he's playing as a backup center or we're rotating him in some way, maybe playing two bigs, he's maybe only playing 8 or 10 minutes a game. And he's probably only shooting the ball once or twice a game. So now he's playing JV. We made a decision to let him play JV. He's averaging 16 points, getting 12 rebounds. He's playing three quarters. He's getting the ball in his hands a lot, working on his skill. Now you add the fact that during the week he's going against Britt and Trent in practice, and he's, you know, early in the season was getting roughed up a little bit and banged around, and he learned how to handle that. So I think, you know, just the practice situation and then his gameplay where he was able to play in the JV and get a lot, you know, get the ball in his hands a lot and make plays. And then as the year went on, we started to work him in a little bit, you know, with the varsity rotation. And I think that's been good for his development, and I think he's really done a great job with it, and he's going to be, you know, he'll help us possibly this weekend, but I know definitely moving forward, he's going to be a big part of what we're doing the next 3 years.
And we know you guys are going up to Logansport to practice today. How do you game plan or prepare in practice knowing you could potentially have two games in the same day?
Well, you can only prepare for your first game. And the good thing is one of the two teams that are playing in the other game we played a month ago. So we've got a very good, you know, report on them. We have our game tape against them. We can kind of know, okay, what we've done and maybe what adjustments we need to make. You know, Homestead is a team that, you know, we're familiar with. We played them last year. So, you know, we can go back and see kind of what they did last year and what they're doing differently. So we have scouting reports ready to go throughout the week. Each coach is assigned to a team. And so the only thing you can do is, you know, you got 3 or 4 hours between games. You rest. You do a walkthrough for about 45 minutes. Watch some game tape. And we'll have some highlight tape of each player made and ready to go. And, you know, that's what you go with. But all your preparation as far as on-the-court preparation during the week has got to be, you know, the opponent you're playing that first game.
Now, this upcoming weekend starts the Big Ten tournament. Have you been in touch with Ryan at all in the last couple weeks?
I have. You know, he came to our game, I think it was our Friday night game in the sectional, I believe. And I've obviously keep in touch with him. So he's excited, and you know, he's had a great year, and I know the coaches there, they love him. He's kind of turned into maybe a little more of a complete player than he was when he was here. He's defending better. You know, they love his total game. They talk about how he's a great passer. He sees the floor. He doesn't turn the ball over. He's really improved defensively, and obviously we know he can shoot it. So. As we all know, they're kind of loaded at his position right now. But for him to go in there in that situation and still gain, you know, quality minutes is, you know, says a lot for where he is right now. And just really happy for him, and I know he loves it. And so we'll be watching him this week.
And speaking of Ryan Klein, this is sort of a question we've been talking about over the last week or two. Do you think this team that you have this year is better equipped to come out of regional than last year's?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. It's a different kind of team. We're a little more balanced offensively, you know. Last year, offensively, we were kind of built through Ryan and Keegan. Everything kind of went through them. This year, we're I think, harder to guard offensively because we've got, you know, we four or five guys on the floor that can score and so or are looking to score. So, you know, defensively, we've gotten better, and I think we're about where we have been. I will say this, though. You know, when you have a guy like Ryan Klein and Keegan Culp, you know, who shoot the ball so well on the perimeter, it sometimes makes your offense so much easier, and you don't realize it until the next year when, you know, you're trying to score and you can't. You're thinking, man, what are we doing? You know, why can't we score? And then you think about last year, and, well, Ryan would hit a 25-footer, and Keegan would, you know, he'd go 4 for 6 from three. And so we don't have those kind of shooters, but, you know, I think we've got, at times, a team that's harder to guard.
All right, Coach. Well, good luck this weekend in regionals. We'll be there to broadcast the game. Hopefully you guys come out with a regional title.
I think we're ready, and we're excited about it, and I appreciate you having me on. I think you guys do a tremendous job.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
All right. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the boys' team, and then we'll have more discussion later on just between us three. You're listening to Hound Pound Sports.
Welcome back to Hound Pound Sports Talk, ladies and gentlemen. Hopefully the Carmel Greyhounds have the eye of the tiger for their next game in regionals against McCutchen this Saturday. We just found out we will have Britt Berry on later after the break, after this short segment. But boys, another sectional title. Like I mentioned with Coach Hetty, the fourth in 5 years and two straight for the Hounds. So, you know, I had a feeling that after Noblesville, you know, after they got past that double overtime game, after they grinded it out, I knew they were going to win it all.
Yeah, and I actually wasn't able to be at that game. I was really disappointed about that. But what was the environment like after that game, guys? I know I listened to it, and you guys were doing a great job, and you guys sounded really excited. What was the environment like after that win?
It was crazy. After the Fishers win, I mean, everybody was really excited. And it's really, you mentioned what a great job Coach Hetty's done. And, I mean, he's just really brought this program back. I have 4 sectional titles in 5 years. And, you know, seeing them in the beginning of the year, I never would have guessed they'd even make the sectional championship. And the way they've progressed and improved throughout the year, it was a really good thing to see. So, of course, everybody was going crazy. Everybody was really excited to see this team from the beginning of the year really struggle, go through ups and downs, and come back in the end, win the sectional title, and really have a good shot to possibly make the state tournament. I believe they could do it with the team they have and the way they've been playing lately. They're on a hot streak.
I think they're playing their best basketball of the entire season, especially with that second half against HSC. They scored 38 points in that second half, and they also went on a 19-0 run in the second quarter alone against Fishers. They shot the three ball very effectively, and especially on offense. Their defense has always been solid, in my opinion, throughout the year. But on offense, when they're crashing the boards down low, when they're getting their big guys playing very well, Trenton Richardson, Britt Berry, John Michael Malloy, and then from the outside, that just opens everything up for them. And guys are knocking down jumpers. They're going to be a tough team to beat.
Well, it was good to see in that Fishers game. You know, the past two games, the Greyhounds really in the past games before that had really been struggling to score. I believe the halftime scores of the Noblesville and HSC game were both in the teens. And to finally kind of break out of that and have those huge quarters and or have those huge halves and have Garrett Covington score 20-plus in that game versus Fishers, it was really good to see because they really had been struggling for scoring. And the way they looked in that Fishers game, I don't know who can beat them.
Yeah, it was 14-13 at halftime in the first game against Noblesville. That was crazy. And then it was 15-all at halftime against HSC. And then they just exploded, like I mentioned. And then in Fishers, you know, after they went up, you know, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, Fishers really didn't have a chance to come back after Cameron Walter started out the game very well. Carmel was just more talented, and now that they're playing very well, going into regionals against McCutchen, it'll be interesting to see how they adapt. Coach Hetty mentioned that McCutchen is a different type of team. They have all 5 guys that can score. In my opinion, you know, the teams they played in sectionals only had 1 or 2 guys that could really put the ball in the hole.
Now another question for you, going off of the playoffs. If you had to pick one game this entire season that was the most exciting for you to broadcast and for you and I to broadcast for the men's team, what game would that be?
That's a difficult one because looking at the sectional championship, it's like, hey, they captured the sectional championship. That's great. But as far as, you know, a close game and pure excitement, you got to go with Noblesville, right? I mean, it's double overtime.
Yeah, I was in the student
out of the
section.
Entire season for Noblesville, you picked that one?
It's sectionals. It's yeah. Noblesville. Carmel was able to get the win. Cathedral, it was four overtimes. That was a great game for us, Brady.
That was it's a toss-up between Cathedral and the Noblesville game.
There's no doubt, and there were a lot of crazy plays. There was a buzzer beater, Alex Fallander. In my opinion, he got the shot off from three-quarters court, but they didn't count it at the end of regulation. But I'm going to go with Noblesville simply because it was sectionals. It was such a great environment. I love broadcasting games and seeing games at the Mill there in Noblesville. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the game against the Millers.
Yeah.
I'll agree. I was in the student section for that one, so that was definitely a different environment to be in. We were kind of taking shots at each other, so it was hype.
All right, that will wrap it up for this discussion. We're going to take a quick break, very quick, but when we come back, we'll have junior center Britt Berry on the show with us. Pound Pound here on WHA alongside Sam Wiederhoff. Brady Klein, I'm your host, Jack Kaiser. Talked to head coach Scott Hetty a little bit earlier, and now we have junior center Britt Berry with us. Britt, thanks for joining us, man.
Great to be here, guys.
All right, and let's just start out by congratulating you for football, actually, on your commitment to the IU Hoosiers, man.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a long process, and really excited about what my future holds at IU. So,
now, question for you. I know you pretty well, and your dad's a Purdue guy. Now yeah. You're an IU guy. What's that like in the house now?
Honestly, it hasn't changed much. I mean, he's supported me throughout this entire year-long recruiting process, and he's really excited for me to, and my family to take the next step going to Indiana and pursuing my football career.
All right, Britt. Well, let's talk a little bit about basketball now. I know everybody's always anxious to talk about football, but, you know, speaking of basketball, man, the sectional championship again. You've been a part of the last two. You've been a varsity player for the last 2 years. What was it like playing in an environment this year at the Mill?
I mean, the Mill's always a very hostile environment, whoever we play. And it being sectionals was even more hostile with all the fans there cheering against us. And that kind of fuels us. You know, we like being the bad guys in some situations, especially against our first game in Noblesville. They had half of their school there, and they were cheering against us. And it really motivated us to get the win. And that really pushed us forward in the tournament, just trying to work as hard as we could to get this title.
What does it say about a coach like Coach Hetty, who's brought you guys through ups and downs? I mean, this season's been a struggle, and you guys haven't really seen that in a while. So what does it say about Coach Hetty to bring you guys through those ups and downs, go throughout the season, and then get the sectional championship at the end?
Well, Coach Hetty's done a really great job with us throughout the year. I mean, he's kept us focused when we need to be. He never made us feel too high, never made us feel too low. So we keep on focused on the next game, and he really keeps us engaged in practice and really teaches us new things every week, and which we carry over into our games.
Now, I don't know if you heard us talking about this during the break when you were sitting outside the studio, but what has been your favorite game to be a part of this year, part of the Greyhound basketball team?
Oh, there's been some great games this year that we've played. It's come down to the wire, but my favorite game that we played as a team was definitely against Warsaw. I mean, that game was back and forth. It was great defense played by both teams, and it really came down to who had the last possession. And we've been working on our last possession moments throughout the entire season, and I've really felt that we converted on this last play and got the win against an undefeated team on their senior night at home at their house, and it was a great win for us.
No better way to do it there.
And of course, we don't broadcast that game. Are you kidding me, guys? We didn't make the trip up to Warsaw. Ends in a Sterling Brown buzzer beater game winner. Oh my goodness!
I'm sure there's better games to come.
I certainly hope so. But I was waiting for a moment like that all year, man, and it just passed me by. But I'm convinced personally that was sort of a turning point for you. It came at the end of the season, but it was a turning point for you guys as far as confidence goes. And how can you compare this team to last year's team as far as confidence moving into regionals?
Honestly, you can't really compare them both, you know, because last year we were confident throughout the year. This year, however, I mean, we started out a little slow, but we're starting to get our confidence to play like we're used to playing, you know. We're playing our best basketball at the end of the year, which is great, and we need to keep that going, but confidence level is really high right now, for sure.
And focusing back on the sectional tournament for a little bit, who was a player that you saw, that you played with on the court, that really emerged and made a huge impression in that sectional tournament?
Definitely my guy, Garrett Covington. I mean, I've known him forever, though, so he's not really the new guy, I guess, but he really made a lasting impact on the sectional, and I think he's played really well down the stretch.
And how much of an impact has he given to you guys as a team ever since his addition? You know, what's he kind of brought to the team ever since his addition back in December?
Well, in my opinion, I think he brings that competitive edge that we can always have. And then he brings another aspect of athleticism to our team. He really drives the gap. He can shoot the jump shot if he wants to. He's really a technician when it comes to his dribble moves and his drives. So that really helps us.
Now, what was your reaction when you found out that Garrett was going to be joining your team halfway through the season?
We were all very excited as a team. We didn't believe it at first. We were like, wait, Garrett from Puffs back in like fifth and sixth grade? And we were like, wow, really? So we were all very excited. We were open with open arms, you know. We couldn't wait for him to get back to Carmel and play for us.
Now, focusing on regionals again, what's this week of preparation been like for you guys? I know you're not all the way through yet. You're going up to Logansport to practice today, but what's the week been like so far?
It's been the same as every other week that we've had to prepare. I mean, we take every week as it is any other opponent. We really work hard in and out during the start of the week, and then we really, scout our opponents towards the end of the week, and that hasn't changed since the first week that we've played basketball against, like, Zionsville or Lawrence Central. We have the same exact game plan, same exact practice schedule as we did have then.
Now, looking at the regionals on Saturday, you guys could possibly have two games. How much of a challenge physically is it to play two games in one day?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, we played a lot of back-to-back games over the summer, but it's been a while since we did that. We're going to have to get off our feet in between games and really rest up because, I mean, the first one, of course, is very important, but if we do happen to get to that second one, which I think we will, we're going to have to stay rested for the winner of Homestead or Fort Wayne Carroll, of course.
And that's a perfect segue into my question as well. You guys get 1 or 2 days off throughout the week with no practice. What do you guys do to stay fresh and keep energized during that one day off?
Well, Coach Hetty really tells us to stay off our feet, stay off our legs, make sure they get fully rested for the week of practice and then for the game time, of course. So we really need to be smart with the way that we prepare for this grueling week of practice and then the game. So we really have to stay off our feet and make sure we're hydrated, get enough to eat, you know. Stay hungry, I guess.
Now, one more question. What's your go-to pregame meal before a big game?
My go-to pregame meal is, it varies from game to game. I mean, for football, it was Chick-fil-A.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely one of those things that I have had before every game. It's just, I guess, a ceremony before the game. Basketball, it's about the same. It's honestly whatever they provide, too. So,
take what you can get.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, last question, Britt. I mentioned the team's going up to practice at Logansport today, getting out of school a little bit early. Do you think getting some shots up and practicing at the Berry Bowl? Yes, the Berry Bowl, ladies and gentlemen. I love that name, the Logansport Berries. That's sick. But do you think that'll be beneficial before Saturday?
Of course it is. I mean, whenever we can get extra shots up before the big game is always important to us. We'll have about an hour and a half practice there, so we'll get used to game-like situations like normal. It'll just be in a different environment. So it's really good to get shots up on the rims and the hoops that we'll be playing on this Saturday.
All right, one final question for you. What do you think is the strongest part of your basketball game?
The strongest part of my basketball game is, I guess, the physicality that I bring to the court. I really try and, set hard screens on people, get people open for us to get some good shots off, get some hard-nosed offensive or defensive rebounds, and then just supporting my teammates, I feel like, is a very important aspect of what I do and what, honestly, all the other guys do, too. So I guess being the best teammate that you can be is the most important thing on a basketball team.
All right, Britt, that's it. Congratulations on your commitment to IU for football, and good luck this weekend in regionals.
Thanks, guys. Hope to see you there.
All right, we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we'll wrap it up here on Hound Pound Sports Talk. This is Hound Pound Sports Talk. In a moment, you know, many of you probably haven't been listening for, but Brady and I certainly have been waiting for this. Samuel Wiederhaft has been debating whether or not to go to the university or Ball State University or Butler University, and Sam has finally made his decision. Sam, would you like to sleep on it one more night?
Think I'm ready, guys. Think I'm ready.
You think you're ready. You've had everybody else biting their nails, so I guess it's time for them to stop chewing. The answer to the question everybody wants to know, Sam, what's your decision?
Man, this year's been tough, but You know what? It's been a good process. I like to look at both schools. I did a lot of research on them, but I came to the conclusion that I will be attending Butler University next fall to pursue my career in sports broadcasting.
Sam, are you sure it's Butler University? Is that your final decision?
That's the conclusion I woke up with this morning.
Why?
Why? Well, let's get into the specifics here. You know, they're in downtown Indianapolis. I love that part. You know, the internships are just too good to pass up. You know, the opportunities I'll be able to get, I really enjoyed. I've been able to become close friends with the director of communications there. He's been really nice to me. We've gotten to know each other a little bit throughout the past couple months. I can really see myself working with him, and that's where I've decided to go.
And was it always your plan to go to school with Tripp the Bulldog and Mark Minner, the voice of the Bulldogs?
Oh, definitely, man, from day one. Now, it's actually kind of a funny story. You know, you guys obviously know I'm from California. I lived there 14 and a half years. And, you know, I remember watching in 2009, 2010, I remember watching Butler in the Final Four. And I kind of became a fan of them because, you know, my dad told me, oh, they're a small school. From Indianapolis, you know, they're small, they're, you know, and my family's from Indiana, so I kind of became a fan of them, and, you know, now, you know, I'm going there, so that's kind of interesting, but yeah.
If you guys couldn't tell, we just completely played off of the decision for LeBron James going to the Miami Heat in 2010, but Sam, we're happy for you, buddy. We know that you'll do great things at Butler.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for support.
All right. Oh, wait. What is this? Oh, the Butler fight song.
Butler song fight song, baby.
You want to sing it, Sam?
I got the words, man. I'll learn them.
He's in here dancing.
Wearing
his Butler sweatshirt.
Interesting, guys. We're all going to different schools for broadcasting. I thought, you know, maybe we'll all end up at one school, but I'm going to Ball State University. Brady's going Forks Up to Arizona State out west, and then Sam's going to Butler here in Indianapolis. So, boys, I know we'll be separate, but we'll probably, you know, enjoy that for a little bit. We've gotten a little tired of each other over the year. No, I hate you guys.
You know, I was telling Brady, you know, just it's kind of crazy. Hey, Big Three's going in three separate directions, but we're gonna have a goodbye show. We'll have a goodbye show.
Oh, yeah. That'll be coming in May, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, Sam, once again, congratulations. And then in these last couple minutes, let's wrap it up. Moving back to the actual subject at hand. Hold on.
BU.
There it is. All right. Let's move back to the subject at hand, the boys basketball team. Moving on to regionals, we were able to interview Coach Scott Hetty and Britt Berry earlier in the show. Guys, what do you think is going to happen?
No predictions right now. I think it's going to be a great game. Like Coach Hetty said, the team we're playing against is a very well-spread team. Their ability to spread the ball on all aspects of the game is really dangerous, and this is going to be one of the toughest matchups I think the Carmel's had all playoffs and probably all season long.
You know, I really liked from that Fishers game, I loved the play of Garrett Covington. He really became a really aggressive player. And, you know, Coach Hetty said he was getting a little too emotional on the court, but I think that's good for the team. He really revived the team. They became very energetic, and, you know, he was just dominant on every side of the ball during that Fishers game. And if Carmel can come out like that against McCutcheon, I think it'll be a very good game for him. And it's just been awesome to watch this team really improve throughout the whole year and really actually have a shot at the state championship.
If the Greyhounds play the team defense that they've been playing, there's no doubt in my mind that it'll be a close game, at least against McCutcheon, and I think the Greyhounds will come out on top. They're going to have to stop Robert Finnessy, the all-star player for the McCutcheon Mavericks, averaging 19.2 points per game, 6.4 assists per game, 4.4 rebounds per game, and 3 steals per game. Yes, I looked that up online.
The kid's a sophomore, isn't he?
Sophomore. He's my size. He's 6 feet tall, 155. You know, not the biggest kid, but he's very athletic, he's very quick, he likes to drive to his left, and man, he can shoot it. He has a great step-back jumper. It's going to be a challenge for the Greyhounds, but I think they're up to it.
And will that be a matchup for Sterling or Fallander, do you think?
That's what I was going to talk about. I was making the pregame rundown for us for Saturday, and I think we'll see a mix. I think actually...
throw Jenkins in the mix as well.
Yeah, when he comes into the game, possibly, but I think Fallander will start him. I think he's their best on-ball defender as a guard. And then I think we could also see Sterling Brown or even Garrett Covington potentially guard him because McCutcheon's not the biggest team. Their tallest player is 6'4". So you think a matchup of maybe a longer, more athletic Garrett Covington guarding the smaller guys, kind of like putting LeBron on Steph Curry, you know, a pretty good defender who's very long. It'll make him make it difficult for him to drive and get his shot off. So we could potentially see a lot of matchups, but, you know, it'll be interesting, especially on that side of the ball with McCutcheon's offense and Carmel's defense.
Yeah, it'll be fun to see, and that's one of the great things about this Carmel team is you really don't know who's going to be guarding anybody because they have so many players that can guard other players. I mean, they have this team is very deep. We've seen a whole bunch of people play that point guard position, and it's been really fun to watch. They have a really deep team this year and a lot of variety on the team as well.
All right, boys, that'll wrap it up for us here on Hound Pound Sports Talk. Make sure to tune in, ladies and gentlemen, on Saturday. We will have pregame, you know, probably between, you know, 11:30 and 11:45, starting around there before the game at 12 for the Carmel Greyhounds. That'll start whenever the first game between Fort Wayne Carroll and Homestead finishes. Pregame will start then, and then we have all the action for you between the McCutcheon Mavericks and the Carmel Greyhounds. And if the Carmel Greyhounds win, the championship game will be at 8 o'clock, and we will be there to broadcast that too. Thanks for tuning in today. Stay tuned to WHJE.